For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. We'll be here with a new episode for you right after this quick note.
BetOnline is your number one source for all of your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wager, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and editor for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. And as always, I'm joined here by my co-host, former UCLA linebacker, Josh Woods. Josh, what's going on, man?
I know it's nowhere near as hot as what we call hot back home.
Okay. But
it's been a rough few days in this heat. Not many buildings have it.
Are you getting sense?
The thing is, though, is like apartments and stuff out here, it's not normal to have AC. So like,
oh, yeah. In the IE, you have to have an AC is the thing I learned. Yeah.
So like not all buildings and like stuff have AC. So like it makes it hotter than what it is because you're just like sitting in it. You know what I'm saying?
Do they, and we'll get to UCLA football stuff here in a minute, but Do they go by the Celsius? And
they
if
do.
So, does it get confusing for you sometimes?
100%. Our coach does a good job at knowing both because he's American, but now has Canadian citizenship. So, like, he understands and the conversion. He gets both,
right?
Because a lot of times Americans are like, "Bro, what? What is?
Yeah.
25 Celsius?"
Right. And they'll go 25. It's hot, and I'm like, "What?"
And then the coach would be like, Americans, like, it's 85 degrees. And we're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It sounds right. Okay.
Yeah.
I always wondered.
So they go, everything is by Celsius except like ovens.
Wait, what?
Like ovens are still in Fahrenheit, but AC units and.
Right.
Like, when the billboard stuff like post the temperature.
Yeah.
That's all Celsius. Like it's everywhere is Celsius, but ovens are Fahrenheit.
Maybe because ovens are American made. I don't know.
I have this argument with with people up here all the time of why like Fahrenheit is easier, and Celsius is easier to like to tell you like you know 0, 100 like that stuff. Okay, that stuff makes sense. But like when it comes to like. Changing stuff by like 1 or 2 degrees, like one degree Celsius is like a big difference, like between 20 and 21. But you can't like if you're turning on like an AC or something, like turning it from like 20 to 19 can make a big, you know, like it's different when like I'm turning the AC from like
that's like if you accidentally
69 turn to 68,
right.
Yeah, so like minimal, wild. Like when you're trying to do like minimal increments, Fahrenheit is like. Way better.
What I would do is if I had an AC unit, I would get a little piece of paper that have conversions on it and like post it right next to the AC wall. I don't know. But anyways, moving on. Okay, speaking of heat and temperature, I caught some heat from you, actually. So the AP Top 25 preseason poll came out, and it was my first time doing it. And the first thing I do, well, actually, I was in the middle of something. So it came out. I had posted a few days before I posted mine, so it was out there already. I haven't got any death threats yet. I'm sure that'll come during the season, potentially, because I've heard that's always been a thing. But I look at my DMs, and Josh Woods is in my DMs complaining about UCLA not being ranked in my top 25. So from there, go ahead. Let's hear it, Josh.
Shame on you, James. I don't understand. You cover UCLA football. You understand how good they were last year and the games that they lost, you know, were very winnable and close. Yeah. Even up to the bowl game too.
Yeah.
For you to not include them in the top 25 is crazy. Like, okay. I'm not asking for top 10. Right. I'm not asking for top 15. Not even top 20. But give me top 25. When you go 9-3 in a power five, okay, you know, there's only gonna be a power five conferences for this year.
This season, yeah.
Yeah. But in the past, if you have gone 9-3 in a power five conference, more than likely you should be top 25.
Right. Right.
And for you.
Here, let me pull it up too. I'm assuming you're looking at it as well.
The thing is, I seen the tweet unrelated to you, and right. I'm like, let me see. Yeah, like let me just look at it, and I'm like, oh, they show the school the media covers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, let me go to UCLA.
Oh yeah, because you saw the graphic, right? Which is kind of cool because it has everybody right there. So did you have any idea that I was did you know I was a voter? I'm sure I told you, but did you know James is a voter?
You have mentioned it to me. I believe on the pod as well.
Yeah.
And then I mean, I knew you said I wasn't ranked, but I didn't think it'd be because of you.
Right. So they had, hold on. I screenshotted mine, but let me get, the AP Top 25. So the AP Top 25, they have an honorable mention or like an others section, others that received votes, and UCLA was third on that. So if you take it for what it is, that means UCLA is ranked 28th unofficially, I guess. So what it was is they had 66 points, and there were only two other teams ahead of them that were outside of the top 25. Texas Tech had 101. And South Carolina had 73. Now, I don't think my vote alone is what kept them out, because I don't know how much. Because I guess the points go by, like, you might get 25 points if you're voted number one, 24 points if you're voted number two, and the most points, yada, yada, yada. So Iowa was the 25th ranked team, and they finished with 131 points. So UCLA is still like halfway from there. Even if I ranked UCLA number one, they still would not have been a top 25 team.
Some people had UCLA in their top 20, and those some people were not James Williams.
Someone had them, I think, as high as 19. Okay, so here's my reason why I did not have them. One, because they lost their bowl game to Pitt, right? Well, first of all, the preseason poll is supposed to not be on what happened last year. And obviously there's nothing to go off of for this season because it hasn't started yet. So therefore, what am I supposed to go off of? A guess? The recruiting rankings or what? So anyways, they lost to Pitt. So Pitt was ranked. And obviously I didn't know the poll results when I made my vote, obviously. Okay, Pitt was not ranked, but they were... Dang, okay. So I had Pitt in my top 25, did I not?
You have them at 25.
I had them at 25, and that was kind of my cutoff point. I was like, they beat Pitt, beat UCLA, therefore Pitt should be ahead. Obviously, other people did not think that because they only got 16 points. So my think about what you just said, though.
You just said not based on last year.
Right, right.
Okay. But I feel like you have to. But my thing is,
right,
UCLA plays them today. Who's winning that game?
Here's the thing. I don't know. And so the case I've been making is, well, I don't know who UCLA's quarterback is. And the thing is you can say that about Georgia. You can say that about with Ohio State. You can say that about Alabama. You could say that about a bunch of other teams, right? I think in the top five, the only team, or the top six or seven, the only team you can say who you know the quarterback is USC and LSU, and the top six, and they're 5-6. So the first 14, well, number two, Michigan, is JJ McCartney, or McCarthy, however you say his name. So as I scramble to try and get out of this hole, excuses, no. So my thing with UCLA is I don't know who their quarterback is, and because of the production that they lost, right, and pretty much the top two leading rushers, DTR and Zach Charbonnet, one, I need to know who's going to – what the running back production is going to be. We know what it – we know the talent is there, but then we also know their talent at quarterback. But I think if Dante Moore is going to start, to me, then they – if Dante Moore is starting, then they are where I have them right now, right outside the top 25, because he's a freshman and he's going to make a mistake. He's going to make freshman mistakes, and it may be the difference between a win and a loss. Does that make sense?
No, because you said your reasoning, you said what, four or five of the top teams don't know who their quarterback is.
Three of the top six teams know who their quarterback is. The other three, Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia, do not technically. Or at least I don't know who they are. So they all lost starters to the NFL.
But they're still where they are.
Yes.
That's my point. Like, you can't – and it's not like
– and I think they finished –
you're somebody that knows 25. Potentially who's going to be a quarterback. And you know, mm-hmm, you personally mm-hmm. have seen it's either going to be Ethan Garbers, a kid that,
right?
that
knows the system.
Yeah. the system. We know what he can do. He's a good – He can run Chip's offense well.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a top transfer.
Right.
Or it could be a five-star quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You also know, you taking away Charbonnet, we got a top grad transfer who we know is a guy. Mm-hmm. Has proven
actually,
that.
He's not a grad transfer. I think he's like a junior or something.
Carson
he
Steele?
Got, yeah, he got years on him. Yeah, he has at least 2 years.
But
unless
regardless,
he goes that early. Yeah,
we
yeah,
know
yeah.
he's a guy.
He's a guy. Mm-hmm. A guy at a lower level. I'm not knocking him for it, but that's what it is.
If Deshaun Foster says you're a guy.
Of course.
You're
of course.
A guy.
I'm not doubting that.
TJ Harden was running on. You had Pitt on there. He was mm-hmm. looking good.
Yeah. I think the thing is, the other thing is the defense too, right? It's kind of like, and I'll be the first one to tell you. I mean, I'm no scout by any mean, but. When I look at the defense, I'm like, damn, they're deep. That defensive line, they're deep. Latu, the Murphy mm-hmm. twins. You got Gary Smith. There's a whole bunch of other dudes. Jake Heimlicher, I think, is someone who transferred in. There's a whole bunch of dudes on the defensive line. At linebacker, you have Darius. You got Femi. You have Kay Medrano. Carl Jones is somewhere in there between the defensive line and the linebackers. And then I'm sure I'm missing another name. Oh, Ali Cajo's back. Cornerbacks, you have Devin Kirkwood, John Humphreys, and a bunch of other guys, right? So I think the defense is deep, but what exactly does that mean still for the defense? Because the defense has not been great by any means, right? Like they're either like ranked average or below average. And that alone is what stopped them from being great last year. Did it not?
You're saying their defense.
I'm saying the defense is what held them up last year, because there were no issues on offense.
There was at times.
Like what? Well, okay. Well, when Charbonnet didn't play, and when Charbonnet didn't play is when they lost.
When they didn't hit the numbers that we said.
Yeah, they didn't get 100 yards. Right.
Yeah, Bobo wasn't, and then yeah. So that was that. But one of the things that. Especially in college football, one of the toughest things is continuity. It's like keeping groups together. So having that whole front together, you still have two corners, and even the guys that are going to step in at safety. I mean, we don't know who the starters are, but having Kenny Churchwell, who's been there for
it's probably
for
a gonna while, be Kenny.
You know, Alex, having guys, you know, just having even just the older players that have been around there. And another thing, you know, like we were uncertain about, you know, the defense, the DC, like, you know, all the stuff that was going on last year. You know, that had an effect.
So, oh, it did. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, hindsight, knowing that stuff now, you understand
why
some of the issues.
I would admit
and why
I would admit
improvement.
I will admit that I kind of forgot about that, and the point could be made that, well, yeah, if Bill McGovern was there, and you know, the defense could have been better, because the defense was rolling when he was there. They did take a step back after he was no longer there with them, and he had to take an absence. So maybe you're a little right on that. All right.
I might be biased, but I ain't gonna lie to you.
No, you're right.
If I was to say, if there was to be any, like, I feel like the thing that is like the most questionable is offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, the team is, if not what it was last year, or better.
I think they're solid, but now here's my thing. And I did a Twitter Spaces earlier in the week, and some people were okay with them being where they were. Some fans thought they were okay kind of being under the radar a little bit. But here's the thing. I think they'll make the top 25 after the first week or two, as long as they continue to win, and they should win at least two of the three preseason games, if not all three. So let's say they win all three games and they're playing Utah going into the Utah game. They should be ranked. I would imagine there's going to be a top 25 team or two that will lose or underperform and fall off. I mean, based on the votes, you would need at least like three teams to fall off from the top 25. Let's say there's an upset. I don't think they're top 25 after the first week. Maybe after the second week, if they start looking really good. But I think if they lose to Utah, they're going to end up right back in where they are, if not a little bit lower. But the rest of the schedule does look good for them, to where there's a lot of winnable games ahead. And I think if Utah, let's say your two losses are Utah and USC, those aren't bad losses by any means, because those are teams who are in the top 15. Utah is 14 at the moment. But there's also a chance. We'll see what happens with Cam Rising, if he's going to be healthy, or what their quarterback situation is going to be like by the time we get to week four of the season. I think Utah's second stringer, who was supposed to start while Cam Rising is out, he got hurt in a Josh they were doing contact drills during practice, and and dude got hurt, so he's out for some time, their second string quarterback. So now they're down to their third string guy. So we'll see how that plays out for them. But I think there's a chance for UCLA to get ranked. I think they will be ranked at some point. It's just a matter of when and where. But are they going to make a run the way they did last year? I don't think their schedule is built for them to do that, because there's not a lot of strong opponents. I think the three ranked teams that they do play, which are USC, Utah, as we mentioned, and then who's the other
team? What, Oregon State?
And then Oregon State, right, who's number 18. All three of those games are on the road. So maybe if they lose, that gets taken into account for whatever it's worth. But you need to win those games, and they're not going to be easy games to win if they're obviously highly touted teams that are talented, but also it's in their advantage by playing UCLA on the road, right? Or having UCLA come in and UCLA is playing on the road. So obviously they can't fumble around and lose the game at home, that's for sure, because the teams they're playing are below them at the most part, or below average. So yeah, I just think that's where UCLA's at right now. They're just kind of, there's room to move in, but you're just kind of, you know, just kind of hanging out. But did I vote for them? No.
But my whole thing is, I feel like my thing is, I think it's just because I think it's weird having a team that you cover that you have to try and vote for. But at the same time, I also think because I know UCLA, because I'm in the weeds, right? Like I'm at practice, I'm at this and that. Some people should say that's why I should vote for them, but other people are. But I'm thinking I know more about them than I do some of the other teams.
I was looking at like maybe you're not allowed to vote for the school you cover. So I was like,
you were gonna give me a pass.
Maybe that's why. But then I looked around. I was like, nah, these other guys got their team in it and they are ranked high.
So that's fair. That's fair. So he's like, what's the matter?
And then with the teams that UCLA beat last year being ranked so high.
Yeah, that's true.
That along with UTSA who have they played?
I mean, look, so when it comes to the polls, it's the hardest poll I think I will do was this preseason poll, because you're kind of going off of nothing. Utah beat USC twice, and they're still only ranked 14, and USC still ranked number 6. So
that's, I mean, a lot of that is just Caleb Williams hype.
I mean, yeah, for sure. But that's what a lot of this stuff is kind of, it's kind of like a crapshoot. But it also makes for an interesting thing. And this is something I thought about before I was even a voter, that it almost kind of, I think, like, one, for me as a voter, we should at least wait until the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks of the season, get through non-conference before you start ranking these teams. Because if you have Georgia number one, Georgia can lose 2 games and they'll still be in the, depending on when they lose the 2 games, they'll still be in the top 10. Just because they're number one. Depending on who they lose. But if they lose to a middle of the pack SEC team, they'll probably still be 15 or 16. They're not going to fall out. So it's like they have such a cushion as the number one team from the jump. They kind of get the benefit of the doubt.
Fight the politics, James. Fight the politics.
No, we'll see. Like, so the thing is, I'm going to have to try and keep up with these teams every Saturday from sun up to sundown.
Make sure you're watching UTSA games. This probably won't even be on.
No, they probably television. Won't. Okay, wait. USTA football schedule. Let's see who they have on the schedule. Just to get it out of the way. Okay, so they play. Okay, wait. This was last year. So last year they lost to Houston. They got boat raced by number 25 Texas last year, 41-20. Their game against LSU got canceled. Damn, they played like 2-3 overtime games. All right.
I see a lot of close games to schools that are not good.
Yeah, that's fair. They do have Frank Harris coming back, who's their all-time leading passer. And I think they have one of their top three receiving leaders all-time coming back. So for whatever that's worth. But their schedule, they have Tulane, who is ranked. That's at the end of the season. Ooh, they don't open up, but their first, I get, okay, obviously they don't play a conference game week 4, but they're going to play number 12, Tennessee. If Tennessee boat races them, then they're out. Then they get bumped out. It's that simple. But if they beat Tennessee, it'd be hard to deny them.
Wait, they move conferences?
I don't know.
Now they're in the AAC. Am I wrong?
They are in. Let's see. They joined the AAC this year on July 1st. So a couple months ago, they officially joined.
So think about the difference in competition. Just between that one.
So yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, if they lose to Houston, or teams they're not supposed to lose to, considering they're the top 25 team, then sure. They were ranked, right? They were 25? Yeah. No, they weren't even ranked. I ranked them. Okay. That's your problem. That's why you're mad. Okay. So actually,
I'm saying you out here wasting your votes.
That's fair. No, wait. Yeah, this is the all-time one. Okay, what did I have them? No, I had them 24. Okay. And then Pitt was 25. Okay, so I didn't get it all right. So what?
Hey, it's the first one.
It's the first one. I think it'll get better over time. I think it'll become a lot more like standardized after a while. Like, and the thing is you kind of know who's who. You got Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, Ohio State, Penn State, USC, Florida State. I mean, you're not going to get a whole lot of change. You're not going to get a lot of changes at the top outside of Utah when Utah plays Florida. Oh, they play Florida, not Florida State. Oh, no, LSU, I think, plays somebody. Yeah, you're not going to see a whole lot of changes right away. It'll take some time, but I think UCLA will get up there. But they have to win their first three non-conference games. None of this will matter if they lose to San Diego State.
Yep, it won't.
So they may follow.
They probably won't. They probably won't be ranked if they lose to San Diego State.
No, they're not going to be ranked if they lose to San Diego State because San Diego State didn't even get a vote. So yeah. Do you have any other comments regarding my ballot? Okay, wait. One more other thing, actually. Another point for me was you already had five Pac-12 teams in there as it was. It would have been really hard to get a sixth one in there.
I mean,
because you got half the damn Pac-12 in there if you have USC.
But UCLA. Think about how talented.
Oh, there's no doubt they're talented. It's a talented conference, which crazy enough considering it's their last year. But yeah,
I mean, like I said before, just the potential of could be the top five quarterbacks taken in the draft could all be Pac-12 quarterbacks.
That could. There's five quarterbacks. All five of the quarterbacks for those five teams ahead of UCLA will easily probably all have some sort of run or dip their toe in the NFL water for sure. There's no doubt about that. So,
but you can't hold that against UCLA.
I need to know who the quarterback is.
Back to the points.
I need to know who the quarterback is.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does matter.
That I don't think that. It makes
look. Everyone says Dante
Chip Moore's is going to play. Chip is going to play the best quarterback for them to win games.
Of course he is, but
so that's all. That's all that matters. No matter which one of the three I said.
Yes, but I still think if Dante is the starter, there's some room for mistakes.
Give you that then, my quarterback, Josh Rosen.
Okay.
Think how good he was freshman year. It wasn't him and why we were losing. It wasn't turnovers why we lost games. We went 8-4 in those the games that we lost were not it wasn't no he's a freshman type games. He came in throwing that thing. Dimes.
I mean The quarterback is whoever the quarterback is going to be is set up in a position to succeed, considering they have J. Michael Sturdivant, they have Logan Loya, they have all these other receivers, Kyle Ford, they have a good backfield or a talented backfield. So
very talented.
So yeah, I mean, I get it, but the dude still has to put on the helmet and go out there and play. And right now, I don't even know who that's going to be.
But that's what I'm saying. It's not. I feel like you're acting like he's gonna throw some of me. Like Chip's just gonna throw some of me out there, and then like,
look. If DTR and Charbonnet were on this team right now today, then they would easily be a top 15 team.
Oh, 100%.
But they don't have Dorian's playing right now for the Cleveland Browns and just threw a touchdown. So he ain't showing up. So they got to start.
I understand
all over
that,
again.
But I'm saying the other quarterbacks are talented, and they might not be Dorian.
They're talented,
or be as good as Dorian, but in the system, I think that they will be successful under the tutelage of Chip Kelly.
Yes.
And like I said, the other pieces around them, I don't think it's like you're not like this is all we have, like a dependency thing. Like, we have good options. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like,
yeah,
it's like, dang, I don't know who's playing quarterback because we don't have any good quarterbacks. It's not that situation.
But I think that the depth chart, when it comes out, should be clear, and we could talk all about it.
And then you're going to be like, yeah, Josh, then, you're right. UCLA is at least 25.
Do I think they could probably – look, they have Iowa in here. And don't get me wrong, I put Iowa in my top 25 too, but I did not feel good about it because they have no offense whatsoever.
But they
they're all defense.
Their defense elite.
They did get a quarterback for this upcoming season, a solid quarterback. I'm blanking who it was. The Michigan quarterback, Cade McNamara, I think, is at Iowa. And led them to a big conference? A Big Ten championship game? Yeah, something like that. They have a quarterback, but that's not why. It's just their defense is so good. They can mess around on offense all they want. And as long as they win 7-0, they'll win games. But I don't
know. UCLA has potential to have a really good defense this year.
UCLA does have potential to have a really good defense this year. And I won't be scared to put them if they're doing really good after the first 2 weeks. If they beat San Diego State, then they'll probably be at least in my top 25. That's not a promise by any means.
So Coastal Carolina is not doing anything for you.
No, because I think their quarterback, I knew his name every other day, Coastal Carolina McCall, because their quarterback got injured. Like, the, you know, Coastal Carolina went on this run the last 2 or 3 years and they became the
darling. Saying, oh, so now that win doesn't matter. Like, if UCLA wins,
I'm
70-0.
They have a new quarterback. Like, they were this darling. They were this Coastal Carolina was this darling of college football the last 2 or 3 years. That coach is not there anymore. That quarterback is injured. If the quarterback was playing and they beat him, then I'd put a little more stock into the game, but not right now. Because I don't know if he's playing.
Never knew you as a hater, James.
Hey, this voting stuff's not easy.
Yeah, this voting thing.
Do you want to do voting, top 25?
The voting done changed you. The way you're looking at everything now is totally different.
You're crazy. No, well, I think it'll be interesting because I'm going to have to follow more than UCLA this year. So I think it will be a little interesting. But yeah, I think
your Saturdays are going to be hectic.
They are, but I'm all for it. I could be doing worse jobs on it just in general, but especially on a Saturday. I think too, like, it's just kind of different when you go to the Rose Bowl and you kind of like see Penn State, you see Ohio State. When I watch those teams and what, you know, just kind of watch them operate, it just feels a little different. I'm not saying UCLA can't be that or isn't that, but you can just tell. It's just a little different. You're not having it, huh?
I understand that thought, and I've heard that stuff a lot, but like, the thing that where that stuff doesn't matter to me, because when it comes to the league and you see the UCLA players paired up against those guys.
Look at Dorian right now. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So like they always try to look at, I do feel that, and the disrespect, a lot of it is the Pac-12 too. Mm-hmm. The way that the nation looks at Pac-12 teams is exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that we can't hang with them and it's a different style of ball, but the talent that comes out of the Pac-12 every year, I feel like, proves itself. And a lot of the reason why that is because we don't have as many teams go in these, you know, playoffs or in the big games because we beat each other.
Oh, and that's
so we don't even get the opportunity to really stack up against.
No, and that's probably going to happen again this year. Again, despite how talented they are. The thing is, I don't like, sometimes I'm watching these NFL games and I'm looking at Dorian and I'm kind of like, he already seems a lot better in the preseason than he was at UCLA. And maybe that's like kind of makes sense, but or that's how it should be. But I don't know. I'm just kind of like, Dorian looks pretty damn confident out there. And I'm not saying he didn't before, but I think because I just seen all the stages of Dorian now that he's kind of in his NFL form. even he looks a little different. Or maybe it's just because I've been away from him a little bit. Like, there's more of a different perspective.
I mean, every year with
he
him,
he got better every year.
100% confidence grew, skills, polish, like all that. I hope that same thing, that chip can get that right. going again with whoever's in this room. And, but at the same time, the cards that Dorian was dealt as a freshman are totally different than the cards.
That's what I'm saying is different, like
we had weapons, but the system wasn't built when Chip first came. It took him a while. Yeah. The system, the foundation, the system is there now.
Oh, for sure.
So I'm saying the quarterback isn't coming into a brand new thing. Dorian had to come into a tough time. Mm-hmm. If Dorian would have came in and Chip's system was already built, he might have had all the stats he had as a senior as a freshman.
Right. No. That's fair.
That's the thought process now. Where I'm saying where it's not really so who's starting at quarterback, because this is what year of Chip being
this
there?
This is five.
Five or six?
Five.
But five, so.
No, six.
No, because six.
Five years of Dorian, yeah.
Yeah. This is year six of the of Chip's program. It's already laid. So it's like, that's what I'm saying. You can't be like, I got to wait to see who plays quarterback. Like,
I still need to see who's going to play quarterback. That's a thing for me.
So Dante Moore, quarterback, not till 25. Who of the other two make you think like, oh, they're going to be that much better at quarterback? Like, who do you think is going to – we can have another conversation of who you want as a starter.
I don't think there is any other two. It's Dante or Garbers.
I think
Justin Martin's just on the outside. I feel like Schley's ahead. I feel like Schley's fourth. Schley's not – No.
Dang.
And maybe that's because there's – I'm not saying he's not talented. Maybe it's a learning curve. Chip Kelly's offense may be a little like a bit more complicated, but I don't know. We'll leave it there, Josh. Instead of debating on who should be the starting quarterback, because the game against Coastal Carolina is right around the corner. And so we'll wait and see, because Chip has the final say at the end of the day. So until then, for Josh and myself, we will see you in the next one. Thank you, everybody. This is the Believe in UCLA Football podcast presented by Bet Online.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.